Thank you, Jonga, Kandemiri, and Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, July 18, 2014. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. The London-based independent shortwave Radio Africa today ended its broadcast to Zimbabwe after 13 years of service.
All decisions of this nature are generally made because of funding and lack of money. So we have to conserve the funds we have. So unfortunately, the only way to do that is to end the shortwave service.
The Movement for Democratic Change has urged President Robert Mugabe to concentrate on reviving the ailing economy instead of attacking the social lives of other Zimbabweans. And Harare residents are bracing for a tough weekend without water after the city indicated today that it will be carrying out major repairs at the Morton Jeffrey Water Works. The London-based independent shortwave Radio Africa today ended its broadcast to Zimbabwe after 13 years of service. The station was quick to add, though, it will continue to broadcast on its website via Channel Zim, through TV decoders and by what it calls various other forms of new media. SW Radio Africa is run by Zimbabweans who, because of repressive media legislation, were not allowed to broadcast from home. In 2000, the station, then called Capital Radio, challenged government's broadcasting monopoly and won its case in the Supreme Court. But after just 6 days of broadcasting from a local hotel, the station was shut down by President Robert Mugabe using his presidential powers. SW Radio founder and head Jerry Jackson tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that funding has forced them to end shortwave broadcasts.
Well, as I'm sure you're aware, Blessing, that all decisions of this nature are generally made because of funding and lack of money. So we have to conserve the funds we have. So unfortunately, the only way to do that is to end the shortwave service.
So does this mean you will not be doing any broadcasts?
We're still broadcasting via our website and through the Channel Zim platform and various other forms of social media.
Obviously, one of the reasons why SW Radio was formed was to ensure that Zimbabweans have an alternative voice. Sadly, this has happened. What do you want to say to Zimbabweans in general, your listeners?
Well, we're obviously very sorry that we have to do this, and it's certainly not a decision that we're at all happy with. But if you don't have the money, there's very little you can do. And we would just like to thank Zimbabweans so much for their support over the past 13 years, because our first broadcast was on the 19th of December 2001. So it's been a long haul. And Zimbabweans have shared some extremely moving stories with us, and they will remain with us till the rest of time.
And let's also talk a bit, Jerry, about media freedom in Zimbabwe. Would you say things have improved?
No, I wouldn't say they've improved at all. As you know, there have been two FM radio stations given licenses in the past couple of years, but they're both linked to the state. So as from a broadcasting point of view, there's certainly no improvement.
And that was SW Radio Africa head and founder Jerry Jackson speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from London. Blessing also reached media analyst and former MISA Zimbabwe director Rashid Mukundu, who says the development is worrying.
It's coming at a time when Zimbabwe's media is yet to be completely free. There are attempts by the ZANU-PF government to open up the sector, but one cannot say that this opening up is democratically driven. It's not being done on the basis of fairness, and there is a lack of transparency and accountability. So we still need the so-called exiled media to exist as a way to counter balance the dominance of the state-owned media in Zimbabwe, but also to maintain that pressure on the government to open up the airwaves in a free and transparent manner. So the shutting down of SW Radio Africa actually plays into the propaganda of the ruling party and the government in Zimbabwe, that their negotiations, which is reaching out to the Western countries, is working. And secondly, that the media sector in Zimbabwe is being opened up. So right now, whilst there are attempts at moving in the right direction in terms of opening up the media sector, you still need that outside pressure, and you still need the outside players like SW Radio Africa, like VOA Studio 7, like VOP.
Lastly, let's talk about the plight of the media workers. Obviously, some are likely to be retrenched. What impact will this have?
Well, the impact on exiled media workers is obviously that they will be without a source of living.
Media analyst and former MISA Zimbabwe director Rashid Mukundu speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Harare residents are bracing for a tough weekend without water after the city indicated today that it will be carrying out major repairs at the Morton Jeffrey Water Works. Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba says they are worried that the council warned them about the pending water problems but did not announce any alternative measures. Mavuku and Tafara residents have not been accessing water, while those in northern suburbs are said to be relying on water tanks mounted on roofs. Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni referred all inquiries to the director of the City Council's Engineering Department, Christopher Zobo, who was not readily available for comment. But Shumba tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that residents have to rely on unprotected backyard wells since most council boreholes are not operational.
The council announced at the beginning of the week that there would be water shortages across Harare. We read that in the papers. We received the emails to that effect, but they did not really give an alternative as to how this would be overcome. We understand they want to do maintenance work at Morton Jeffrey Waterworks.
As residents, what are you planning to do to make sure you are covered?
In most cases, people have bought the 200-liter container drums to store some water, which they want to use for bathrooms and other household chores. While in some communities, they have to go and queue at community boroughs. In some cases, residents have to continuously buy, like in the northern suburbs, where they regularly buy water. But the council has not put in place a mechanism to ensure that at community clinics or at district offices, they have put water bowsers to ensure that residents have an alternative source of water. What they simply announced is that there will be no water.
That was Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
In a statement released by Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai spokesperson Luke Tamborinyoka, the MDCT said it is embarrassing that Mr. Mugabe is spending most of his time attacking people when the economy is collapsing. Mr. Mugabe yesterday...
Sorry for that technical hitch up. The Movement for Democratic Change has urged President Robert Mugabe to concentrate on reviving the ailing economy instead of attacking the social lives of other Zimbabweans. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
In a statement released by Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai spokesperson Luke Tamborinyoka, the MDCT said it is embarrassing that Mr. Mugabe is spending most of his time attacking people when the economy is collapsing. Mr. Mugabe yesterday used the burial of national hero Major General Elia Bandama to attack some people for what he said were their alleged involvement with several women. The president did not specifically mention the people that are involved in such affairs, but Tamborinyoka said Mr. Mugabe was the least qualified to talk of moral issues after he married his current wife Grace when his late wife Sally was on her deathbed, suffering from a kidney ailment. The MDCT said government workers have no pay, the country is facing a serious liquidity crunch, and Zimbabwe has an unserviced debt of over $10 billion, but all the president of the country has on his mind is Mr. Tsvangirai. The party said, for the record, Mr. Tsvangirai has publicly spoken about his own personal issues. The MDCT said, quote, in 2012, he issued a public statement offering his apologies to anyone who may have been inconvenienced during his search for a woman to marry after the death of his wife of 31 years, end quote. Mr. Tsvangirai's wife, Susan, died in a car accident. Mr. Tsvangirai was allegedly involved with some women before he met his current wife, Elizabeth Macheka, daughter of a senior ZANU-PF member. In other news, the leader of the newly formed Transform Zimbabwe political party, Jacob Ngarivume, is claiming that the ZANU-PF government is plotting to decimate his party, as evidenced by his arrest recently on three occasions inside a fortnight. Ngarivume was arrested on allegations of illegally convening meetings of his party. He adds that proposals by the government to regulate churches was also another strategy being made by authorities to destroy his party, which he says derives its support from the Christian movement.
We therefore call upon President Robert Mugabe to uphold his oath of office to ensure that Transform Zimbabwe is allowed to pursue its legitimate and peaceful political activities without hindrance, harassment, threats or persecution, or the abuse of power by state security agents.
Earlier, Ngarivume had told a news conference that the country's economy is on a downward trend owing to the lack of leadership.
You know, we so much believe that the failure of Zimbabwe has been a failure of leadership. You know, as a nation, for your own information, you know, since 1980, for instance, we've had over 14 economic blueprints. Some of them were crafted in the highest corridors of economic power, you know, but none of them have worked.
Despite the threat to decimate his party that he has alleged, Ngarivume said his party is working hard to form the next government come elections in 2018.
We will ensure that as a political party, you know, there are basic benchmarks that we would require to ensure that an election is free and fair. If an election is free and fair, that is not only measured, you know, on the day of the ballot. There are many other factors that come into play. We have to follow up on all those so that we ensure that election is free and fair.
Studio 7 failed to get a comment from ZANU-PF spokesperson Rugare Gumbo, but Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mohadi said Transform Zimbabwe should do its activities within the confines of the law to avoid a brush with authorities. He urged the newly formed party to seek permission from the police as is required under the Public Order and Security Act before holding any public gatherings. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
First and foremost, the upbringing of
a motion moved by Matabeleland South Senator Sithembile Mlotshwa yesterday that infants should not be circumcised as it infringed on their freedom of choice has been received with mixed feelings. Some say children should be left to choose when they are older, and others are of the opinion that it is the parents' rights to decide what is appropriate for their children. Mlotshwa's motion was seconded by Maswingo Senator Meshack Maraba of the MDCT, while Mashonaland Central Senator Damien Mumvuri of ZANU-PF also supported the idea. They argued that the money meant for infant circumcision should instead be channeled towards treatment centers for cervical cancer, as it did not benefit the children. For perspective on the issue, Studio 7 reporter Sithandekile Mhlanga reached the former Kwekwe Central Member of Parliament Blessing Chebundo of the MDCT, who was the first legislator to undergo the circumcision procedure when it was introduced in Parliament in 2012.
First and foremost, the upbringing of children is the responsibility of parents and any government, that is the government of the day, to make sure that there are programs that take care of the postnatal and the care of the children. When we were pursuing the issue of circumcision, I know that the ministry was also pursuing it from the medical point of view. Why it is not being forced upon parents and the children? I think that is good if we take care of the immunizations and other things without the consent of the children, but the responsibility of the parents and the ministry. I think the same should go like that with circumcision. We are preparing them for the good future, and this will be the case, in my view.
What were you told about the handling of the foreskin?
See, this program of circumcision is not different from the other things that are done. When you are born, what happens when the umbilical cord is, you know, cut off and other things that are shed from the newborn? The same goes with the foreskin. They are destroyed in the natural way or the technical way of destroying them. They are not even used for any other wonderful things. That is good, again, is when, you know, the first introduction of the ARVs in the early days of HIV and AIDS. People were saying you'll be given pills that then will make you something, and, you know, and people were scared, and a lot of things were being talked about. Eventually, people discovered that they were being assisted, and then they took up the programs, and now they are living longer. And this is the same with circumcision. What we have been discouraging, and I think the doctors, the fringes were discouraging, is the issue of the traditional way of doing it without due care to the hygiene, to the technical way of doing it.
That was former Kwekwe Central Member of Parliament Blessing Chebundo of the MDCT on the line from Kwekwe.
You talked, we listened. By popular demand, Studio 7 Live Talk is launching our very own Women's Round Table starting Thursday, July 16. This show seeks to address issues of concern to us as women. Tell us what you want us to discuss via email at studio7@voanews.com. The address again, studio7@voanews.com, or on WhatsApp 1-202-465-0318. The number again, 1-202-465-0318. And of course, on our Studio 7 Facebook page.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up, 298 people perished in a Malaysian air crash yesterday. We will give you the latest developments. And a Zimbabwean musician set to shine in New York. Stay tuned. But first, we take a look at regional and international news. U.S. President Barack Obama says the deaths of the 298 people aboard the Malaysia Airlines plane that went down over eastern Ukraine are an outrage of unspeakable proportions. Speaking at the White House today, Mr. Obama said evidence indicates the plane was shot down by a surface-to-air missile launched from an area controlled by Russian-backed separatists. He called for an international investigation into the incident, saying Russia and the separatists must adhere to an immediate ceasefire. Along with shock and grief, demands are growing for a full investigation into the crash of the Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 over eastern Ukraine that killed 289 people. There's mounting speculation that the crash was caused by a missile strike. The United Nations Security Council was to hold an emergency session to consider a call for a full independent international investigation. South Africans today took part in the Mandela Day. Citizens are on this day encouraged to dedicate 67 minutes to help the community. The event is a tribute to the values that former South African President Nelson Mandela stood for. This is the first Mandela Day since he died late last year. And Israel says it has killed at least 17 militants in combat since beginning ground operations in Gaza against the Palestinian group Hamas. The Israeli military says its forces engaged the Palestinian militants during overnight operations aimed at destroying tunnels that Israel says are being dug by Hamas into Israel. Zimbabwean singer Netsai and her group Black Pressure will this evening perform in New York, United States. VOA's Ndimiake Mwakalele speaks to Netsai.
My name is Netsai, and I'm a singer-songwriter. Nyuchimudoroba means a bee in the city, and the lyrics say, I don't drink from a dirty water source, which apparently is what bees do. So this song, I wanted to write a song about staying true to yourself and being, not being nonconformist in a rebellious way, but just being honest with who you are, you know? So that's what that song is about. When I started playing music, from when I was small, I had a fascination with, I think, Thomas Mapfumo's music thing, and I remember thinking, how does he make the depths of that sound? And then kind of growing up with that in the backdrop, when I decided that I was going to play music, I thought, I want to try and have my own version of that, you know, and I grew up loving all sorts of traditional and vocal, especially choral music from Zimbabwe, some of those Chimurenga choral songs, you know, some, you know, church music, traditional music. I just love the bottom end of that sound. I didn't have any intention of playing music professionally. My background is in visual arts. At the time when I went to go and study further in filmmaking, which was a profession that I used to work in, the economy had just crashed in Zimbabwe, and we were going through quite a lot of economic turmoil.
Georgie, lost out at sea, in a landlocked country, would you have ever really cared?
2002, I was in the UK and I was performing and I was touring in Europe and in the UK. And then my last thing that I did was I toured with Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and after that tour, I decided that I wanted to move back home. I took 2 years off because I had a little baby. And then I put a new band together. Black Pressure is made up of three young men. And the four of us, we play lira, marimba, we've got wamanda, we've got Western instruments too, we have a whole show, obviously. One of my favorite songs was a song called Rondo, which means war. I wrote the song with my dad, and it is a song that the lyrics say, Rondo in Ngozi, war is a, like, it's got a bad omen, right? War is devastating. War is, you know, all these very, you know, profoundly disturbing things. But also, new nations are built out of war. So, just as Zimbabweans, and, you know, with this scepter of the Chimurenga War hanging over our contemporary history, I just wanted to deal with that subject, not to apologize for anything, but just to take a look at something. So in Zimbabwe, we've played at Haifa, we just did our fourth year playing at Haifa at the Harare International Festival of the Arts. And at Haifa, there's an artistic director from New York, and she was looking for musicians to develop as part of a new project that's kind of up and coming in New York, which is called the Original Music Workshop. And she saw us and said, I'm going to bring you guys to the States. And then, so now this is our fourth time to come back now.
Some nice laid-back music there from Zimbabwean singer Netsai of Black Pressure, and she was speaking with VOA Sendimiake Mwakalielia. And in sports news, the 2014 World Cup has come and gone. The next one will be in Russia in 2018. Will the Warriors be ready for the big stage? Reporter Michael Cariati looks at what the future holds for the Warriors after Brazil 2014.
Germany continue to celebrate their fourth World Cup title. Zimbabwe football, on the other hand, is in crisis. The Warriors are out of the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations. The women's soccer team has been eliminated from the 2014 Africa Women's Championship, and the country's junior teams have been withdrawn from international competition. This was the same story when the 2010 World Cup was staged in Africa. The same problems that have bedeviled this Zimbabwean game for years continue with no solution in sight, as one World Cup after the other is coming and going with no serious challenge from Zimbabwe. Where exactly is Zimbabwe getting it wrong? Former Zimbabwe national team defender Arlington Sherrani, who played this club football in France, says the situation will not change and is bound to get worse.
There is no unity in our national team, so it's already a problem.
Kaikano Tembo, who captained the Warriors and now coaching South Africa at SuperSport, concurs.
We're the players, but we don't have the structures in place for us to be able to perform at the highest level. At one stage, we had players where after a training session, there's no food, there's no allowance.
Sherengi says most football administrators in Zimbabwe don't know anything about the game. The former Dynamo defender believes that the best way of transforming soccer in the country is through bringing on board people who have played football at the highest level.
We're the players, but we don't have the structures in place for us to be able to perform at the highest level. At one stage, we had players where after a training session, there's no food, there's no allowance.
Zimbabwe has a restrictive entry point into the ZIFA leadership position, as an aspiring board member is supposed to have served in a top position for at least 5 years. First spokesperson Tolisani Becerra says it is wrong to throw stones at the Football Association. He says even if somebody is brought from the moon to coach the national team, the Warriors will continue to struggle as long as Zimbabwe is failing to fund the sport.
You cannot run a business without money. We need government support. We need corporate support for us to grow and participate in these tournaments.
Sports consultant Shepard Tiware says ZIFA should plan in a manner in which funding is available for the national team long before a competition starts.
There are a lot of people who can put in money, but because of the image that is currently, they cannot put money.
With no Africa Cup of Nations and World Cup qualifiers between now and 2018, the Warriors will only return to international football in the qualifiers for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations, and will, in the meantime, be confined to the less important Confederation of Southern African Football Association, Oroko Safa Castle Cup. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thanks, Michael. And please remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about water problems in Zimbabwe's cities and towns. And now we take a quick recap of today's top stories. The London-based independent shortwave Radio Africa Today ended its broadcast to Zimbabwe on shortwave.